Thank you so much for standing with me. You certainly may be seated. You look in verse number 25, and we notice that the Bible introduces us here to a man by the name of Simeon. A couple of Sunday mornings ago, the choir sang about this man, Simeon, a song that Melissa and I sang probably 15 years ago, maybe. It's a song that has rung in my heart over and over, stuck in my mind for many years because it is a story of a man that in many cases is obscure in the Word of God. And any time, by the way, that you see something that is obscure in God's Word, you might ought to pay attention to it because there might be something very special that God has for us in it. Consider those things. I remember the words of Simeon years ago, and I didn't know a lot about his life. And as we sang the song for those years that we did, and as the choir did just a couple of weeks ago, my mind began wondering when I first heard it more about this man Simeon. The more I've studied this man's life over the years, the more and more I have been intrigued by him, fascinated by him. The study of Simeon in just the seven or so verses that is given to us in Luke chapter 2 is one that is humbling. It is one that is convicting, really, about who this man was. This was a saint of God. And some great things that we could learn about his life. This afternoon, as I sat down at about 4 o'clock or so today, just to look and try to gather some thoughts for our time together this evening, I began thinking about all the various characters in the Christmas story. I began thinking about this man Simeon and how out of everybody in the Christmas story, you know, you got Zechariah, that's a great story as well leading up to it. You got Joseph, of course, and you got Mary, and you know all the different characters in the Christmas story we could talk about. Outside of the Lord Jesus, Simeon, to me, I believe, is one of the most fascinating ones throughout the basics of the Christmas story. I spoke to you first back about 2 or 3 weeks ago. You may remember we talked about surrendering to the call of Christmas. We went to Matthew chapter 1, and then last week we came into Luke chapter 2, and we looked at the first 7 verses, and we talked about following the call of Christmas and how that they followed the Lord blindly, really. They followed the Lord. Just following God, once you surrender to the Lord, you will want to follow the Lord. Surrendering is critical if you're ever going to follow. You'll never follow until you surrender. We talked about that from verses 1 through 7. Then you pick up in verse number 8 in Luke chapter 2, and you find that great scene of the shepherds out in the fields, known as the fields of Boaz, the shepherd's fields just outside of Bethlehem. You see that account that is given. And then you come into verse 21 this past Sunday morning. We talked about solidifying the call of Christmas in our hearts. Then we're going to talk, and we will next week, about remembering the call of Christmas. But immediately following that scene of them dedicating Christ to the Lord, verse number 24 that we talked about, we pick it up in verse 25. It's really the same scene. They're going to the temple in Jerusalem, Mary and Joseph are. They're taking Jesus for that dedication that we talked about. Remember, present him to the Lord. We learned there about the spiritual presentation, the sacrificial or substitutionary presentation that it was. But as they are making their entrance into the house of God for this dedication, that we are introduced to this man, Simeon. Let me just share 3 quick things with you about this man Simeon's life and just out of the Word of God here. And tonight what I'd like for us to do is just stop and process in our minds what the Bible is telling us this man really is. May as we go into this Christmas season, we pattern our life after some of the things that we see in the life of Simeon. First of all, notice with me how that he was a faithful servant. He was a faithful servant of God. Look back at verse number 25, if you would. And the Bible tells us here that they'd gone to Jerusalem. They met this man whose name was Simeon. Look at the rest of verse 25. It said, and the same man, look at this, he was just, he was devout. When I read that today, I couldn't help but think about the man in the Old Testament by the name of Job. Job chapter 1, the Bible tells us this man, Job, he was a devout man. He was a perfect man, the Bible tells us. This would be on line here with what Job was according to the description that the Bible gives us of this man Simeon. It says he was a just man. He was a devout man, meaning he was a saved man. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that word ghost is talking about, was upon him. We see a man right here that was a man of God, a servant of God. He loved God. I mean, he had a testimony. He had a reputation. He just loved God. Everybody knew he was a just man. It's clear here from Dr. Luke that he was the case. Everybody knew he was a just man. Everybody knew that he was a servant of the Lord. He was a devout man, a man that just loved the Lord. He had God on his life, in other words. Simeon was a man that when you walked down the streets, you would look at him and you would see that this was a man that walked after the Lord. There was something that was different about him, something that was impactful about him in his life, something that made a difference. I was reminded as well about the book of Jude in verse number 23, I believe it is, of some have compassion, making a difference. Simeon was a man who made a difference because he loved the Lord. He served God. We can see as his life develops, we can see the impact that he had, the faith that this man had. This was truly a faithful servant of God. I've told you many times before that the greatest desire of my heart is just to be faithful. There are a lot of things that I cannot do. There are a lot of things that I will never achieve in this life. I can't stand up here and lead music like Joel Asher. I can't go and be a David Brainerd on the mission field. I can't go and do some of this or some of that, even things like you do. I was talking to Brother Randy Chubbuck, who's been helping us out with things around the church and getting things done that we've hired here, doing a great job. And I was talking to him. Frequently I talk to him about these things. I thank him for what he does and does so well at, because he does some things that I can't do with my hands. And he always responds. He says, God gave me the ability to do this. This is my ministry. And he does it well. There's some things that I just cannot do. I can't preach in a great and a powerful and a polished way that some may out there. But one thing I can do is I can be faithful. I can simply serve the Lord with all my heart. I can be faithful to Him in my substance. I can be faithful to Him, just my giving of everything that I can to Him, my time to Him. Have you ever considered tithing your time to the work of God? You know, we talk about tithing and giving our 10% as we should. We have no option in that. God's commanded that. When I was in business, I had a policy. I would give a certain amount of my business revenues to the church, to the Lord. I tried to give that. Every week I would mail a check to our secretary at the church, and she knew what it was for, and she would give it to God for me. And I would try to give to that. Have you considered ever tithing your time, giving 10% of your week to the service of God, just being that faithful to the things of God? You understand how I feel about faithfulness. Faithfulness will relate to other people who we really are for the Lord. Faithfulness is a big deal. I make a big deal out of it because God makes a big deal out of it. Here we find this man Simeon in God's Word. This man faithfully went to the house of God, and he was waiting to see the Son of God. God had promised him that he would before he died. And so therefore he knew the moment was going to come when that little Jewish child was going to have to be brought for the temple, to the temple, to be dedicated, as we talked about this past Sunday. So day after day, he would make his way to God's house, and he had studied it out, Simeon did. And he had known that it was going to be in a general time frame when the Messiah would actually come. So day after day, he went, and he waited, and he watched for the Christ child to come. He was faithful in it. May God help us just to be faithful. You might not be able to teach, preach, to sing, to do this or to do that. God's got something that you can do just to be faithful. Be a Simeon. Be faithful in every way that you can. For we see right here that he was a faithful servant. But notice also that there was a followed spirit that we could speak of. And you look into verse number 26 and we see something about the character of this man. how he followed the Lord and the Spirit of God. Verse 26 says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. There it is again. By the Holy Spirit, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Look at verse number 27. Bible says, and he came by, meaning and he came in. The word by is actually speaking of in here. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, that being Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law. Now you remember how we talked about the law had said that he was supposed to be 8 days after his birth. He was supposed to be dedicated to the Lord, presented to the Lord. That's what they were doing. So they were following that custom. But here was this man, Simeon. I love what we see here. The Spirit of God had told him to go. The Spirit of God had told him it was coming. He was so in tune with God that he knew the Messiah was coming at this general time frame. So he was there and he was waiting. I think about this matter of being that sensitive to the moving and the leadership of the Spirit of God. Because I think sometimes we just get so mechanical that we whether it be in church, our services, our lives, we schedule God out. How many times really does the Lord want to do something in our lives? Something that'll matter. Maybe on a Monday, maybe on a Thursday, maybe on a Friday. He wants to do something in our lives. We're just too busy for God to do something there. Got too many other things going on. We don't stop and meditate on what He may really have for us. So ponder that right now. Today, as you woke up this morning, to God be the glory for another day. But as you woke up this morning, did you stop? Did you ponder? Did you say, Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me? Help me to follow you today. Help me to find what your ultimate plan is in my life today. I doubt many of us do that regularly or faithfully, you think. It's something that we struggle with because we're so busy. We get every last minute of sleep that we can out of our night's rest. We get up, we're so tired, we're running late. We're throwing the shoes at the kids, getting them ready to go to school. We're rushing them out the door. Don't have time for breakfast. We sure don't have time for God. We run out, and our day already starts upside down. I've learned through the years that if my day doesn't start with the Lord, it's not going to happen. It's got to start with the Lord. And I've learned that if it starts with the Lord, it's proving that I've got a sensitivity to the Spirit of God. God speaks to me on those days in ways that He doesn't on the others. Simeon was a man who was sensitive to the Spirit of God. I do love our services around here. I've said this many times. How that our hearts seem to be tender. I just love it when people are led by the Spirit. We've probably all been in church services before. Not just here, but I've been in church services in places before. There was a man in Germany. I could call his name. I won't. This was a unique man. I don't know that I've ever met a man quite like this before. But every time that somebody would testify in church, or every time that he would stand up in church, and the Spirit of God was moving, everything would die. He just did not understand being sensitive to the leadership and the moving of the Holy Spirit. This man, one day, God was moving in a big way. I remember this was in Germany when we were stationed, or when we were at Hahn Air Force Base. We were there. We were at Hahn Air Force Base. And I remember they were there. God was moving in this Sunday service in such a mighty way. And this man stood up and started talking about how one day, years earlier, he had given a statue of an eagle, I believe it was, to somebody for Christmas. Right in the middle of a service. Killed everything that was going on. Sometimes people just like to hear themselves talk. You've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. It's amazing, folks. The Holy Spirit's leading. It is real. It is real. Sometimes God just wants us to fall in line with what He's got. Just to be still and know that I'm God. Then we're quiet. when we get rid of all the other distractions, all the other noise in our lives, it's remarkable how the Spirit of God will work. And I just encourage you today, be sensitive always to the Holy Spirit. If God deals with your heart about going and witnessing to this person or that person, you better do it. God may have put them in your path to give them a tract or whatever so they can be saved. And I believe the Bible teaches us that if we defy that, and if that person does die, spend eternity in hell, their blood will be on our hands. God put them in our path to share Christ with them. Whether they accept it or not, we cannot control. But we must be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God. That spoke to my heart today when I considered this man, Simeon. He was sensitive to the Spirit of God and to the leading of His Spirit. We not only see there was a faithful servant, there was a followed spirit. We notice thirdly right here that there was a final satisfaction that the Lord gave him. A final satisfaction, we pick it up now in verse number 28. Let's just read these down, make some comments about it as we go, and then we'll close. The Bible says, "Then took he, that is Simeon, him, that is Jesus, up in his arms, and he blessed God." Can you imagine what this moment was like? God had already told him, "Simeon, you will see the Christ child before you die. I promise you it will happen." So Simeon, he was a man of faith. He followed the Lord. He was sensitive to His Spirit. And he went day by day to the house of God, waiting to see the Lord. And by the way, that's where you see the Lord, is at the house of God. And he went day by day. Here he is finally. Can you imagine as every child came in, him wondering, as the song says, "Is this him? Is this him?" Finally, here comes Mary and Joseph, and they bring the babe, the Lord Jesus, in, and he knows it. And he finds out exactly who it is. He knew what the name was going to be. He knew this. He knew that this was going to be baby little Emmanuel, God with us. And can you imagine him holding the very promise of God that he had given to him? Imagine the overwhelming, heart-pounding thrill of that moment. Aren't you grateful that they weren't living in the COVID era? Can you imagine a mom handing their child over to a total stranger? No, they would have been pulling out the sanitizer. "Put your face covering on. Let me bathe you in sanitizer so you don't touch a child." Look, I get it. I do. I remember when our children were little, that was something. We always put the little mittens or whatever that we put on their hands so they wouldn't scratch. But also, there was a secondary motive for that. So people, you know how people like just go by and touch their hands, kiss their hands and all that kind of stuff. That's disgusting. Why do you do that? Why do you think I want your slobber on the hands of my child? And of course, you know, the kid puts their hand in their mouth and it's just a mess all the way around. It's a mess. So can you imagine that here it is, a stranger saying, hey, I want to hold your child." Mary and Joseph allowed it. And here he is, Simeon's holding a little Christ child. That very thing, that very one that God promised that he would see before death. Simeon was holding the promise. He was holding the promise. How many of you have a Bible tonight? I want you to hold it high. Hold it high. Hold it high. You're holding the promise. You're holding the promise. As much as Simeon took it, and as much as Simeon carried it in his hands, you got to believe that he had it right there. And he looked down into the face, that perfect little face of that pure little child. And he looked. Can you imagine what was going through his mind that he was there? You know how he is. He's trying to comfort it. No doubt that was the case. Can you imagine? As he looked into the eyes of the Christ child and said, "You're the promise. You're the promise." Everything Simeon had read of the Old Testament, Isaiah 7:14, all of the other prophets, he was holding in his hand. Thought about that today, and I looked at my Bible. I said, thank God I got the promise. The promise that there is a blessed hope one day that I, just as Simeon did, will look into the eyes of the very Christ, Savior and the Redeemer of this world. And so here we have Simeon now in our scene, in our story, and in the Scripture, and he is now holding the very Son of God. He is looking at the promise in verse number 28. Pick it up further, the end of verse number 28. He's holding the child. He blessed God. He thanked God. And here's what he said in verse number 29. And this ought to grip our heart. Lord, he says, now lettest thou thy servant depart. In other words, let me die in peace according to thy word. Verse number 30. And here's why. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He's saying, I'm ready to go. My task is done. You told me that I wasn't going to die until this time. This was a man. I talk to you from time to time, and I say that many of us, we need to make sure we're prepared to die, though we may not be ready to die. There's probably not too many of us, if any, in here right now that are ready to die. We're prepared, maybe. That's good. But there's still something in us that wants to live a little while. That's just our flesh. But this was a man who was not only prepared, he was ready. He said, I'm done. I have fulfilled everything that God left me here for. And I am done. He says, I'm going to die a happy man. I'm going to die satisfied. And I have seen the salvation of God. He goes on to elaborate in the verses that follow what God's going to do through the Messiah. And he is satisfied with the fact that he's ready to go. I hope that you're saved today. You've given your life to the Lord. But I guess my question, who do you know in your life that isn't? I mentioned on Sunday about a friend of mine carpooling Friday afternoon. Matter of fact, he was here at our church Friday morning doing work at our church. Little did he know, he left here and he went straight to his job. Little did he know, just a couple of hours later, his little boy would be driving up Highway 151 in a carpooler's car. Right on Highway 151, another car veered over and hit the car head on. A lifelong friend, a guy that we've known for 30 years. How old is he? 9, maybe 10? Something like that. Hit it head on. A large SUV was the vehicle that he was in the carpool car, and the other one that veered over was just a small sedan. That small sedan, the impact of it at nearly 60 miles an hour, both automobiles at 60 miles an hour, sent that huge SUV airborne to Mississippi. Little fellow walked away, and God was good, just some news. We don't understand that, but in that same accident, somebody else perished. You know, I've been thinking about that. Every time I hear about somebody who perishes, my mind just goes to this. Where are they now? I don't suppose I knew the individual. Don't even know the name. Wouldn't know them. If I would have seen them, I wouldn't know. Where are they? Have they ever come to the point that Simeon did? Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Today, Melissa was doing some things in the living room floor. And on it, she had the TV and a kind of a documentary thing of some cold cases, I guess it was. mystery, you know, crimes that hadn't been solved yet, or whatever the case was. Many years ago, a lady had died. I stood there and watched it. They showed pictures of her. I couldn't help but think. Where she is. When are we going to understand that these are real people living real lives, dying real deaths? Many of them are going to a real hell because their eyes have not seen the salvation. Come on, man. Right now, at this moment, there's nothing we can do about people outside these walls at this very second. But there is two things we can do right now. Number one, you can make sure you're saved this Christmas season. There is no guarantee that you're going to live. As a matter of fact, the last I heard, that accident that I told you about, there was somebody even younger. Was in critical condition and didn't know if they would even live. He died. Thank God that we have it upon the authority of God's Word. That little baby was in the presence of God. We rejoice in that. What I'm telling you is, death is no respecter of your age. Do you know your sin? That's one thing you need to take care of. And if you know you're saved this Christmas season, maybe you just need to bow. Say, God, I know I'm heaven bound. My eyes through faith have seen thy salvation. God, I got a son. I got a daughter. I got a father. I got a mother. I got a friend. Co-worker. I think about co-workers all the time. Thinking about one right now that's in eternity, he's in hell, best understand. Young man died in a gang fight. Maybe tonight you just want to pray, God, help me to be the tool to show them salvation. Let's just stand on this window.